Brother Dennis for that wonderful song. All of our hope is in Jesus. Why?
We planned for our youth last night. Many of them went and they heard, I believe, 6 messages. Great preaching. And Brother Steve Gibbs is pastor at Maranatha. Just a wonderful service. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing them to go, and I sure enjoyed it. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Recently, I guess it's last Monday or so, thought came to me, how simple things is. God made things so simple. He's on the throne. He lets us know all our hopes are in Him, and we keep thinking they're in the world. We keep thinking sometimes they're in prosperity, maybe in politics. We know better than that. But there is no other hope than in Jesus Christ our Lord. So therefore, He's in control of everything. And we need to be under His control, because as the controller, He's the blesser. He gives us all that we need. He has plenty to give. And really, it comes down to one simple thing. All we have to do is please Him. Just think. All the things just wrapped up in one. We have to please Him. And a lot of us say, I'd like to get closer to God. First step is up to us. James said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to thee. And Wednesday night, we looked at the thought of Solomon being our example. Remember, Solomon was the son of David. He was now on the king of Israel. God had put him the king of Israel. And as a result, he just came in and said, I don't know anything, but Lord, teach me everything. God says, I'll give you what you want. Why? Because he had sacrificed 1,000 offerings to God. We saw that when we give ourselves a sacrifice and present ourselves to him, it gets his attention. And next thing you know, God was asking him the question, I've seen your sacrifices. I've seen how you please me. It pleased me that you did this. Now I want to do something for you. So Solomon said, all I want is wisdom to lead your people. Not for my prestige, my honor, my glory. Everything I want from you is for your glory. And God says, granted. And since you were not selfish, then I'm going to add to that. Not only do you have the wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches, fame, and fortune. So we see that it pays to please God. So I'll look this morning, the second part of that message, on pleasing God. The first thing we need to know is look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Kindly start out the message today, pleasing God. There's a lot of reasons, we'll look at just a few this morning, that we need to please Him. Why? Because He is our destiny. He's the one that controls everything. Our hope is in Him. We've heard those beautiful songs this morning. Why? Because we've been washed by the blood. And now we realize that if we want our prayers answered, and surely we do, but if we want our prayers answered, we must please Him. Look at 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. In other words, He has everything we need. He is everything that we need. All our hope is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we need what He has to give us, blessings. And we have prayer requests. We pray, we seek His face. And the text just told us the only way God is going to give us the desires of our heart is if we please Him. That being said, we need to look this morning how we please Him. Quite simple. He never gave us any commandment or anything to do but what we're able to do it. So first thing I want to look at is not only we need to get our prayers answered, but God pleases Himself. That's good to know. Second thing we want to look at, that Christ Jesus pleased the Father. And so since God pleases Himself and Christ Jesus pleases Him, God is in the pleasing business. He wants to please us, but He can't, nor He won't, unless we please Him. First step is up to us. Look at Psalms 115, verse 3, how God pleases Himself. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased.
Psalms 135, 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. God has the ability, the oversight, the means, and the desire to bless all his people the way we need to be blessed. And the only way we're going to receive those blessings if we learn to please him. So we've learned that God created all the heavens, and God has always pleased himself. And if you and I would please him, then he would be pleased to give us the answer to our prayers. And we surely need his advice. We need his instructions. We need everything he has to give us this morning. And let's look at the creation. He just referred to the fact that God pleased himself always. He was before time, but he created time. He is on the outskirts of time. But then he entered into the time, and he sent his son into the world in the darkness of time. He saw you and I before he ever created the world. And so the first 6 days of the creation, remember, every day at the close of the day when God would create every creation, he looked at it, and the psalmist said, 135 verse 6, that God pleased himself in the creation. Everything he did was perfect, right, and in the end result of every day, he took analysis. He analyzed the situation, and he said, it's good. And you realize every day of your life, every moment of your life, in my life, every second, every time we do anything, God looks upon it, and wouldn't it be good if he could announce, that's good. All the ways we serve him, we please him. And if we would do that, then the next day, another great act of creation. At the close thereof, he looked upon his works and he said, it is good. And on the sixth day, he looked upon that day and upon the whole creation and he said, it is very good. Not only do I want God to be pleased with my actions, but my attitude. And the only way you're going to have your actions right is to get your attitude right. I believe the strongest thing that you and I need to do is get the right attitude towards serving God. And if our attitude would be, I want to please God, so at the end of the day, and certainly at the end of my life, he would look and say, it is very good. Say, that's impossible. No, it is very possible, and we'll look at the reasons why at the next statement. God was pleased with his son. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. He said he came to do the will of the Father. And the Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, and thee I am well pleased. Remember when he was baptized in the river Jordan, and John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to loose your shoes, much less me baptize you. And the Lord said, it needs to be done. John was so privileged to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was looking upon the scene. He's looking upon your scene. He's looking upon my scene. And then God echoed through the heavens, this is my beloved son. He sent the dove, which is the Holy Ghost dove, and he abode with him. And there he was said, announced to the world, he is my beloved son. So everything Jesus did pleased the Father. And therefore everything you and I need to do is please the Father. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. See what's happening? Jesus pleased the Father, and God was pleased, and he said, in Christ Jesus, the one that pleased me, my son, let all fullness dwell. He continues reading Colossians chapter 1:20 after that. He said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus pleased the Father. And it pleased the Father that he would give all fullness, all power, all majesty to his Son. How much would God give you and give me this morning if we would learn to please him? And let me tell you by the word of God how we can do that. Through Christ Jesus, of course. Anything worth anything is going to be through the church, through Christ Jesus and his church. So when we allow God to govern and control our lives, then we please him. Simple. We please him by letting him govern and control our lives. Jesus said, I came to do the will of the Father, and everything he did, every step he took, everything, and Jesus was pleasing to God, and God gave him all fullness, all power at the right hand of the Father. But let's look at some scripture right now to let us know how we can please the Father. Remember, he gave us the ability to do that. Why? Colossians 1:25-28. Been going pretty fast. I want to slow down. I want to slow down because I want us to understand very clearly. So far we've seen God pleases himself. Christ Jesus pleased the Father. And God was pleased to anoint him and to let him be resurrected from the dead. And he said he had the power to be resurrected. God had the power to resurrect him. The Holy Ghost resurrected him. The three are one, the one are three. And you and I are in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians 1:25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. God is going to give us a plan how we can please him. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's you. That's me. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now remember, we saw God pleases himself. Everything he did in creation all the way through. He's perfect. So everything he did pleases himself, and that's perfect because God's perfect. And then Christ Jesus was pleasing to the Father in every detail. And now he says in this verse that he has given us the mystery, which is Christ in you. Now, if Christ pleased the Father, and Christ is in me, and Christ is in you, then that gives us the ability to please the Father in every thought. And of course, we do make mistakes. But we also have the ability, and the Holy Ghost tells us when we make a mistake, and we quench him, we aren't obedient to him many times, and we have thoughts that aren't right, and we go ways that aren't right. But he says that since he lives within us, we have that ability, the hope of glory, to please him. The next verse says, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm in the world, you're in the world, and the world is wicked. And their flesh is in the world. And the worldly things rub off on us, no doubt. But greater is he that is in you than he that's within the world. And the verse just said, that since Christ is in us, the hope of glory, every man can be perfect in Christ Jesus. The inner man, the thoughts, the attitude, the very longing of our heart should be to please God. And when we aren't, we're out of his will. Our prayers will not be answered. But I want to go a little bit farther. And I want to look at guidelines how we can please the Father. Now, he didn't tell us to please him if he hadn't told us how. And he tells us many guidelines in the Word of God. And I only have time to go through about five this morning. Some perfect, wonderful guidelines that's easy to be remembered. Remember, since a simple message, such a simple plan, that if we want his blessings, and we do, and do we need him? Yes, we do. Then he tells us how to please him. And if we want our prayers answered, and if we want him to govern our life, then we must allow him to do so. Let's look at a couple of verses of scriptures. First of all, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God says he is pleased when the preaching of the cross is preached. You're here this morning, and you don't have much of a preacher, but we have a great subject to preach about Christ Jesus. So when we preach Christ, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus. And he said through the foolishness of that, foolishness to the world, but God is pleased. So you're hearing the word of God, and God's pleased. That's step number one. And if we please him, then remember what happens to Solomon? God reacts when we please him. Let's go with First Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we are walking worthy, we're walking the way he wants us to walk. And when we don't, he tells us about it, and we let him correct us, and we ask forgiveness. But when we walk worthy of the calling of God, then he is pleased, and we're fruitful. He says we'd be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the kingdom of God. And that's pleasing to God. We're looking at guidelines for us to please God, so God hears and answers prayers. So we want to please God because Christ pleased God. And Christ is in us the hope of glory, and surely the inner man wants to please God. We do it by walking worthy in this world and by preaching and hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only hearing it, but adhering to it. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I was so pleased and thankful for our children last night, church children that went to those great services. And not only was I pleased and the parents were pleased, but God the Father was pleased. When you and I, and when children are taught, and when children obey, and please and obey their parents in all things. Now listen, children, I know most of your parents, and I know they're not perfect. But they have the guidelines over you, and as God controls them, they try to control you. And then their imperfection, they try. Okay, some of them don't try. Give you the benefit of the doubt. But the Bible says, in all things, obey your parents. And that is pleasing before God. Now, isn't that easy to do? I remember back on the farm where my parents would tell me something to do. Sometimes they'd put it in writing. If they would be gone when my brother and I got home from school, they would have a list of things to do. Sometimes the list got pretty long. Most of them I knew what to do already, but sometimes it was go dig the hay, or we got the corn all in the barn and it needs shucking. There's things like that. And when I obeyed my father and my mother, not only did it please them when they came back home and saw that I'd done it, and children, let me tell you what you already know. When you please your parents, things go a lot better around the house for you. You get more gifts. You get to go to more places. The list goes on and on. Why? Because when you please them, it makes them happy, and they want to please you and reward you. And if they do that for you, and they do, how much more does God, who's perfect, when we please him, want to reward and bless you? So children, a great, great opportunity to be blessed of God. Just obey your parents in all things. And when you do that, God is pleased. The next thing I want to look at would be in Hebrews 13:16. We're looking at some guidelines. Children, obey your parents. Now let's look at this guideline. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Not only did he say he's pleased, but well pleased. To do good. You don't have to have a long list of things to do good. It starts with an attitude. An attitude of, from the very abundance of my heart, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want to please him. Attitude. And that sets the rule book in order. And therefore, you don't have to have 100 or 200 different rules. Just one rule. My attitude is to please God. So therefore, I want to do good works. I want to communicate to my children, to my parents, to everyone around the workplace that I love God. I want to communicate with my mouth. I want to communicate with my lips. I want to communicate with my heart, my actions, my attitude, everything. I just want to please God. And God said if you do that, it is well pleasing to him. Remember what he told Solomon? He said, Solomon, since you asked for these things that give me honor and glory, not only will I do those, but I want to add to. God is in the addition business. Satan subtracts and divides. God adds and multiplies. It doesn't take a smart person, really, to understand which side you'd rather be on. Serving Satan decreases, takes you down, takes you away from, and pleasing God builds you up and increasing your faith in him daily. So therefore, we learn every day of our life. Not only do we have these truths and these guidelines, but I want to look at some gifts that God will give. There's so many, I don't have time to list, but about three of them this morning. But when we do these simple things, let's look at some gifts that God says he would give us. We'll find that in 1 John chapter, the first verse we read. Reiterate that. Some of you might have not been listening, you might have been turning. 1 John 3:22. Some gifts that God gives. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Whatsoever. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Those things which you've already seen. Obey your parents. Have an attitude of gratitude. Desire to please him. Walk worthy in the vocation he's called us. And get forgiveness of your sins. Read his word. Listen to the preached word of God. And give him honor and glory for all things. Denying the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh. And submitting to him and letting him govern our life. Those things. But then he says the second thing that he wants us to do. Let's look at Proverbs 16:7. Some gifts he gives. Boy, it's a great thing to know that your prayers will be answered, is it not? A lot of times we pray. Now, remember the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're talking about pleasing God. But he says without faith, you'll never get there. Faith is something that he gives you. Your faith is weak. Mine is weak. It wavers. But we live, Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His never wavers. It's able to sustain you, to guide you, to govern you. And so when we pray, we ask in faith. And then he says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that wonderful? It's such a personal thing for me. But I'll sit down with any one of you at any time and share with you some ways that God has brought this verse to my life. Do you have enemies? Yes, we have enemies. You know, the biggest enemy I got is my flesh. But when I'm able to subdue that, to get it under control and let him govern me, that takes care of that. But other enemies along the journey of my life have come against my ministry, have come against our church. You know what I do? I claim this verse of scripture and I go to God. Say, Lord, I'm not good, but I want to be better. But I sure, from the abundance of my heart, with the right attitude, want to please you. And if I do, you said that you would take care of my enemies. Read the verse again. When a man's ways, when his walk, his desire, his attitude, and all these guidelines please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Those that would do you harm, those that would tear you down, and in fact destroy your ministry or your very character. And I've had those in my life. Believe me, I have. And I can't control it. And I couldn't go to them and get them to stop it. Something better took place. He handled it. I can't even start to tell you the ways. Just constantly, just take those things that the devil had sought to devour me and my ministry and the church and everything I represent. And there's enemies out there, I'm telling you, that come against us to try to destroy our reputation, our character, and you can't do a thing about it, but you don't need to. Please God, he said, even your enemies, I'll take care of them. Well, I'm telling you, that alone is reason enough to want to please God, that he takes care of all those enemies. If all the enemies I know I've had, there's probably 1,000 or more out there I don't know I have. And I don't need to worry about that either. Because if I please him in all my ways, he'll take care of all those enemies on every front. Prayers answered? Yes. Taking care of the enemies? Yes. Look at one other one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. The verse promises that if we please God and try to walk in his ways, he will make us abound more and more. You can't make yourself abound more and more. You can't do anything to increase anything about anything. Because everything we do is not going to last very long. But you don't have to. We're looking at ways God gives gifts to those that desire to please him. Abound more and more. The scripture says, ye would abound more and more. And if you study that out, it's in every way. Not just your bank account. I'm not talking about your worldly riches. I'm talking about your health even, and I'm talking about your character, and I'm talking about things that you have no control over, but he does. He's the one that increases us. And if he don't increase us, we will decrease. Because there's no way any of us can do anything except through Christ Jesus. And the simple thing, it's a very simple thing. With an attitude in their heart, I want to please you, Lord. We know that Christ pleased him, and Christ is in us. So therefore, we have the ability to, every day of our life, every desire of life, to please him, to walk worthy. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Brother Rand, you have a song to sing, song of invitation. It's so important, of course, to get our prayer answered. It's so important that that God would increase us so we would abound more and more in Christ Jesus. It's so important that He take care of all those enemies that comes against you and I on a daily basis. And it's going to get worse. We don't have to worry about that either. The only thing you have to concern yourself with is a desire to please Him. And if you'll have that simple desire in every aspect of your life, He'll take care of all these needs, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can't do it, and I can't do it, but we can because Christ is in us. And since Christ pleased Him and God pleased Himself, we can please Him too. We have that ability. Starts with an attitude. Well, there's a lot of people that's got bad attitudes. But if we can have an attitude of pleasing God, it solves so many problems. So many problems. Altars open. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got an attitude that I can make it without Christ, oh, God, change your attitude. Because no man can make it without Christ either. We'll never get to heaven without Christ. Bowing at His feet. And once we have Him in our life, we want to please Him. You can please Him this morning. We have the guidelines. We have His word. Would you come? Altar's open. Some are coming. Others need to come. Just simply please the Lord. Every area of your life. Yeah. You have that desire? Oh, God, help us have that desire. And if we have it, He will increase us. And we will bound more and more in this service. Brother Randy.